This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 29, 2021. The 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You leave the commandment of God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Our Lord rebukes the Pharisees because they leave aside the commandment of God. They are emphasizing the traditions of men. Notice they don't confront the disciples for not washing their hair and saying, why do you disciples not live according to the commandments? Because that's not one of the commandments. Is it a sin to wash your hands before you eat? No. Is it a good thing to wash your hands before you eat? Yes, it is. Is it a good thing to wash your dishes? Yes, it is. Our Lord is not saying, don't do those things. You know, what he's talking about is the emphasis of these folks. They don't speak of the commandments of God. They speak, why don't your disciples adhere to the traditions of men? Our Lord wants them to reorient themselves. Again, it's not that those things are bad, but the fact that first and foremost, we need to be founded, have our feet firmly planted on the moral law of God. We are living in times that are really no different from our Lord, except they're worse. Our Lord is confronting them. You know, at least the Pharisees talked a good show about the commandments. They emphasized more the traditions of men. We're living in a time where something really pernicious is happening, something that is dangerous to souls. And that's this proposition that the moral law is not absolute. If you leave here with anything today, have this ringing in your ears. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, are absolute. They must be adhered to. This whole nice sounding, well, yeah, I keep the commandments, but I really rely on the sacrifice of our Lord to get me into heaven. Sounds nice, and in a sense, that is true. The commandments don't get us into heaven, but the commandments and our adherence to them absolutely show our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not you should, not if you want to be uber Catholic, you do it. He says, you will keep my commandments. They are absolute because our Lord Jesus Christ says it. It is the unequivocal, consistent teaching of our church since her inception that we have this moral law as a guide for us. It is an absolute for us. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, for those of you who like to take notes, 2614. Faith bears its fruit in love. It means keeping the word and the commandments. So this appeal to Jesus must be associated with completely the keeping of the word and his commandments. St. John Paul II, in his encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth. Emphasis, truth. Splendor of truth. Where do we derive truth? It's got to be derived from somewhere. It's got to be objective, or it's not truth. Truth cannot be relative. And that's what Veritatis Splendor is all about, emphasizing the absolutism of the moral law compared to approaching it as something that's relative. Relativism is probably the most dangerous thing that we got going on in our day. There was a book written years and years ago now, Relativism, Your Feet Firmly Planted in Midair. relativism is just that. We all know them. I mean, I have them in my family. You try to witness to them. Christ says this, this is what the church teaches, and they give you the head nods, you know, this is God's truth. Yeah, for you. That's relativism. It's not truth if it's subjective. It's not truth if we can pick and choose what we want. It's not a salad bar. Our Lord doesn't approach it that way. He doesn't present it that way. He never once says, you guys don't have to adhere to the law anymore. Ever. It's not there. It's absolute. And again, the words of our Lord Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The importance of the commandments cannot be overstated. And the importance of them rests on the fact that they are absolute. These are by what we are going to be judged. We are going to be judged by our keeping of the commandments. Everyone. This is how absolute they are. Well, that person's not going to be held to it because they don't even believe in God. Guess what? That's why they're going to go to hell, because they didn't keep his commandments. Well, it doesn't make any difference. This is how absolute the moral law is. It applies to everyone on the face of this planet. It's the way our Lord wants us to live. It conforms our life to him. I can't emphasize enough how the church emphasizes the importance of keeping the commandments. The Roman Catechism, if you open it up to the section on the commandments, it says, since the Decalogue is the summary of the whole law, the pastor should give his days and nights to its consideration, that he may be able not only to regulate his own life by its precepts, but also to instruct the people committed to his care. If the moral law isn't absolute, if it's objective, how can you find the authority of teaching in the church? You can't. Again, look around you. Most of you, you know, have come here within the past several years. You were somewhere else. Things that are presented now. You go one place and you hear, yeah, we still do this because God said we still do that. And you go to another place, oh, we don't worry about that anymore. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. You know, it's all, as long as a person feels right in their heart, that's subjectivity. That's approaching your faith from the visceral, the way it makes me feel. That's not our faith. Our faith is something objective, because if it's visceral, then if you don't feel good about something, you can just throw that away. I don't like the church's teaching on contraception. I don't like the church's teaching on the real presence. I don't understand it. I don't have to believe it. The Bible study this morning, adult forum, I was emphasizing it. When we talk about the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, the catechism says the Catholic Church will not permit anyone to deny the real presence. But the latest study, 70% of the people who gather in a lot of places don't believe it. The church doesn't permit it. You're not a Catholic if you don't believe it. Why? That's objective. You know, that's why it's easier for you to say, if you don't believe in the real presence of Christ, don't come up to communion. Because it's objective. It is objective. You don't believe it, you're not a Catholic, you shouldn't be receiving. Because St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you eat and drink judgment to yourself if you do so. And I care about your soul. It's not because I'm stiff-arming you because you don't believe like I do. I objectively believe in the Word of God. This is absolutism. The teaching of the church, if it's not grounded on absolute truths that are objective for everyone, then there's no reason for me to get up here and say anything. The confessional. And this is horrendous because I hear the horror stories all the time. I went to confession. I tried to confess this, and Father told me it wasn't a sin. I try my best to always present it like, well, I don't know exactly how you presented it, and you know, maybe Father mistook it or something like that, is to just sit back and go, Father was wrong. But I mean, sometimes I just call a spade a spade. Like when somebody comes in one day, and it wasn't in the confessional, it was outside in front of a bunch of other people, and it really floored me because it got really detailed. Father, I went in the other, there were like 10 people standing there. Father, I went in the other day, and I confessed this, this, and this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're saying this in front of other people. He throws that out, and he goes, Father said, well, those aren't mortal sins. My head's like hurting. And I said, Father said they're not mortal sins because a mortal sin separates you from the grace of Christ. And if I wasn't in the grace of Christ, I wouldn't want to ask his forgiveness. I'm like, what kind of twisted logic is that? Because he thinks so? That's relativism. That's not what we believe. You come to the confessional, you say, I did this, I try my best to meditate upon it day and night, more or less. You come in here, I did this. Yep, that's a violation. Is this a violation? Well, it could be, but what? You go through the objective law, all right? It's not subjective. What happens at the confessional if whatever, this priest says this priest says it? No. You should go in the confessional anywhere. You confess your sins and be absolved. That's the way it should be. And it is if the moral law is absolute. There's motivations for keeping the law of God. Again, these speak of the absolute nature. Why? For starters, God is the one who gave them to us. And it wasn't like you went to Moses and said, hey, Moses, I'm going to give you 10 rules. You come out of your tent tomorrow. I'm going to have them sitting out there for you on two tables of stone. No. He sets the stage. Moses, you're going to come up on this mountain. I'm going to reveal some things to you. And you can come up and tell the people if they even come near it, they're going to be killed. No animals allowed to come near it. And when you come up there, you're going to be petrified. Earthquakes, thunders, lightnings, fire, smoke, all these kind of things like that. And there's only 10 commandments. How long could it take to give them to Moses? You know how long he was up there? 40 days, over a month. What is there to talk about for 10 rules for 40 days? As much as God wants you to understand how absolute and precise they are. That's why. So God gave, is that not a little motivation to adhere to them? Because God gave them to us. Bottom line, but there are others. They're not difficult. That's another motivation. Oh, you hear this trash all the time nowadays. Well, you know, the moral law couldn't be absolute because there's a bunch of people who live this way and live that way and believe this. They just can't adhere to the moral law. Last time I read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not to mention the fact that that's why our Lord, one of the reasons he was incarnate, was to come down to show us that, yes, you can fulfill the word of God. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ didn't divinely come down, consume this, consume that, petrify everybody, and, you know, just say, do what I say. He didn't do that. He came down in flesh, just like we are, and lived a life perfectly in conformity with God's will, the law. Yeah, that's why I'm always, and mockingly, I wish I knew what the will of God was. I always say, crack open the book. You just crack open to Exodus or Deuteronomy and read the Ten Commandments. That's the will of God right there. As long as what you're doing falls within the parameters, you're good. Could this decision be better? This would be a little bit worse. But as long as you're within that lane, you're good to go. That's why we have it. Because it's an absolute rule in how we live our lives. And it's not difficult. I can't even recite the Ten Commandments. Well, you should be able to, because there's only 10 of them, and they're that important. But at the end of the day, our Lord even makes that simple for us. to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law. Did he change the commandments? No. They're just all encompassed in those two things. Anyway, it's even more simple. Do unto others and you would have them do unto you. It's that simple. How difficult is that? I can't. You won't. That's our nature. We've got to continually train ourselves, exercise, so to speak, in the ability to keep God's law. It's necessary. A little footnote on that whole do unto others. And this is a footnote, kind of really off on the side. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Ever notice how we're hearing so much in this day and age? You need to do this because it's charitable for other people. And they want you to. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Again, little footnote. That's the way we need to approach things. As long as you're in conformity with what God says, you're good. Well, this person wants me to do this. Well, tough. As long as you're not doing something to them that you wouldn't want done to you, then so be it. But again, it is that simple. And they're necessary. I think that's the whole emphasis on this. Like, why is it necessary? Because Jesus Christ says, because that's the appeal. Oh, we don't have to adhere to the law anymore because we have Jesus now. This is Jesus who said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's interesting. John chapter 14, as I said before, that statement of our Lord is in John chapter 14, verse 15. In the next nine verses, four times, he says it again in one way or another. Four times in nine verses. He says again, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He actually goes on the other side of the coin and says, if you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me, nor do you love the one who sent me, my Father. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father who sent me. Our Lord is emphasizing as a second part of the trick. I'm saying this because God the Father says it. They don't do anything on their own, this whole Trinity thing. So it's necessary to adhere to the moral law in all its aspects. Because for us, it's not a matter of rule keeping. This is where our Lord was going in the gospel. Dotting I's and crossing T's for the letter of the law's sake is not what he wants. He wants you to dot the I's and cross the T's because you love him, because it conforms your very life to his life, because he's all about the commandments. He lived in this world and he kept them, and he wants us to do the same thing. Because why? Because we're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12. We need to appreciate that that transformation has to come from somewhere. Is it a transformation that you figure out on your own? No. It's a transformation in conforming your life to the moral law of God. That is what it's all about. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which was the first reading today, this is how important it is. I'm giving this to you, and you better not mess with it. And now, give heed to the statutes and ordinances which I teach you, and do them, that you may live. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. Well, that's what they said in the Old Testament. We have Jesus now. Jesus who says in Matthew chapter 5, whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall call be least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And notice that little formula there. It's only two words, so it's easy to remember that one. It doesn't say, whoever, you got to teach everybody to do the commandments. Teaching's not enough. And it's not even the first thing. And whoever does and teaches these shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We do the commandments, and then we tell other people, because we got to walk the walk. This is a reality of the moral will of God. It's a benefit that we have the law. That's the end of this whole thing. We have the law to benefit ourselves, individually and collectively. It benefits us. Our Lord says in Deuteronomy, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you? When you adhere to the word of God and the will of God, it can't help but to shine as a light in darkness. It's really kind of sick in our day and age that there's like two or three countries that are these little glimmers of light. It's kind of interesting that there are little countries in Eastern Europe. They're adhering to the will of God. Abortion's still illegal. Dudes can't marry dudes. That's reality. That's God's moral law. Even if you just nominally adhere to it, look at this country. From its founding up until 1950s, maybe, people actually looked at the United States as a moral authority in the world. Watch the news. God has taken his hand of blessing off. Why is that? Because it's the law of the land that you can kill babies? Because dudes can marry dudes? What's the big deal? That doesn't affect us. Yes, it does. That's hole in the fabrics of society. It's a violation of God's moral law, and he won't have it. And he'll take his hand of blessing off. Watch the news. One nation under God. Yeah, right. This moral law is where we keep ourselves protected from the assaults of the enemy. The Alleluia verse from today, Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our refuge. The first hymn today. People who are in the know, they actually had a priest visit one time, and they played that hymn. He was like, oh, that's a Lutheran hymn. No, it's not. It's Psalm 46. Scripture. Psalm 46 emphasizes God being our fortress. What's that whole illustration about? He's where we are protected from the assaults of the enemy. And what are the walls or the fortress? Those walls are his moral will. As long as we keep ourselves within his moral precepts, we cannot be injured by the enemy. It cannot happen that we have this tendency to stick our face up against the windows of the wall because we're curious about what's going on outside. And a lot of people have this tendency to walk outside the walls of their own free will. That's where you get tagged. That's where you can be taken prisoner by our enemy, and you don't want that. The moral law of God is his will. It is the walls in which we find our refuge. And if you stay there as an individual, you'll be an example to others. If we do it collectively as a parish, we'll be a witness to others. If we would do it as a society, again, we would be a witness to others. This is what our Lord wants for us. He wants nothing but our good. And one of the premier ways that he shows his love for us is by his law. And it's absolute. Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.